40 greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young here in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It may be chilly here in North America as we leave blustery January and hopefully head for a warmer February. But my thoughts are on the boys of summer. In just a couple weeks, baseball players from around the world will head to the warmer states of Florida and Arizona to get started with spring training, the six-week lead-up to opening day in late March. One team that hopes to be in the mix come October's playoffs is in the news. That's the team I grew up cheering for, the Cleveland Indians. Earlier this week, the team's owner and MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred announced the team would be phasing out its mascot, Chief Wahoo. This will be the last season the Indians use their longtime icon on their uniform and club graphics. The red-faced Indian with a toothy grin has been a part of the Cleveland sports scene since 1948. In recent years, the logo has come under attack from Native American groups who want American sports teams to abandon old-fashioned Indian iconography. Those who protest the use of the logo say they are people, not characters or mascots. I tend to agree, even though I grew up wearing the Chief Wahoo logo on caps, shirts, jackets, and sweatshirts. While the team says the name will not change, I for one would not mind if the Cleveland baseball team changed its name entirely. Perhaps going back to the name the Spiders, which they used in the late 1800s. I would be the first one at the team's shop to buy a Cleveland Spiders hat with a scary-looking arachnid on the front. Keeping with today's all-American sports theme of baseball, football, and basketball, let's take a look at this Sunday's Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This year's Super Bowl features the Patriots of New England. They represent the Northeast U.S. states close to Boston against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Patriots are going for their record-tying sixth National Football League title. If you recall, the Patriots defeated the Atlanta Falcons last year after trailing by 25 points late in the game. As the teams gathered in Minneapolis this week, we heard from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who says the Eagles have a good chance of winning even if his Patriots are favored to win by a few points.
I mean, there's no underdogs in the Super Bowl. They're the first seed in the NFC, man. They're 13-3. They had an incredible season, so I don't buy into any of that. Could never imagine, you know, being in this position eight times. This is, I mean, to be in it one time is a dream come true, and to be here eight times is unbelievable. And I think I've just appreciated as I've gotten older. Honestly, early on, I probably, you know, it just went so fast. And I think I've really relished these experiences and opportunities and try to make the best of them. We lost a couple in 07 and 2011. We're lucky to, you know, get back and win it a couple other times, but this is the one that matters the most.
That's the ageless 40-year-old Tom Brady of the New England Patriots, who is getting ready to play in his eighth career Super Bowl game this Sunday. We also heard from young Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. Wentz was injured late into an outstanding second season in the NFL, diving into the end zone for a touchdown in early December. But because of his knee injury, he will not play on Sunday. Wentz hopes to be able to play in the Super Bowl one day instead of watching from the sidelines.
You know, I'm going to use this as a learning opportunity and motivation. You know, just being here all week, seeing it all, it'll give me an edge to want to be back, without a doubt. Yeah, there's real human emotion, you know, without a doubt. You know, I'm as supportive as anybody for this team and for these guys, and I'm super excited for them to be here, and especially Nick, just seeing him take over. We're so close, you know, off the field as well, and couldn't be happier for him. But at the same time, there's those real emotions that are human, and I don't know many people more competitive than myself, and so wanting to be out there is definitely tough, but you know, I get over that pretty quick, and I just, you know, be around these guys, and things are going as well as they can be.
That's young Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz, who won't be playing Sunday in the Super Bowl due to a torn knee ligament. He'll be replaced by backup quarterback Nick Foles. For some more Super Bowl analysis, we turn to Sean Leahy of the Boston Herald newspaper. Sean will be directing his team's coverage of the Patriots and the big game throughout the rest of the week. Hi, Sean. Hope you're doing well with all this Super Bowl craziness, and thanks for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
So for our African sports fans who might not be that up to date on the NFL, can you tell us a little bit about the significance of what the Patriots are trying to accomplish with this Super Bowl and the really unprecedented run that they've been on in the last decade and a half?
Yeah, look, I think the NFL in America is probably, you know, similar to soccer around the world, you know, or the World Cup. The Super Bowl, they play it annually, but it's as big as the World Cup is internationally in America. And, you know, the Patriots are trying to win for the third time in 4 years, and for the, you know, for the sixth time in the career of Tom Brady, their quarterback, and that's unprecedented. No one's ever won as much as him. They're trying to win back-to-back. That's only happened 9 times in the history of the Super Bowl. They are a modern-day dynasty unlike any others. They're the New York Yankees at their height. Of course, the Yankees, you know, were the kings of Major League Baseball for a long time. To put it in international terms, I'd say just imagine the same team, winning the World Cup, you know, 3 out of 4 times. That's the hold that the Patriots have on the NFL right now.
Is it getting old at all to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl once again?
Well, if you're not a Patriots fan, yeah, I do think it is getting old. I don't think there's any doubt about that. If you're a Patriots fan, if you're from New England, if you're from the Boston area, you love it. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan or a New York Jets fan or really a fan, you know, of any other team, you get tired of seeing the same team in the Super Bowl every year. And you see that in other sports. I think you see that in you're going to see that in international competitions. You always want to see new blood. It's good for fans to kind of see new blood. And I think what you'll see this week is a lot of America will be rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, for just the reason that they want to see someone else hoist that NFL championship trophy.
So what do you think the chances are of the Eagles pulling off a victory on Sunday? How do these two teams stack up?
Well, I'd say the Patriots probably have a 70-30 chance of winning. They play the games for a reason, right? They don't give out the trophy before the game, and just your resume doesn't win you anything. But the Patriots have an uncanny ability to win games even when they're down. They've been down by 10 points in the fourth quarter in 4 playoff games in the last couple of years, and they've won all 4 of those games, which is just really, absurd. It's never been seen before. You know, the Patriots have a once in a generation game every year, and when I say that, I mean, you know, as a Browns fan yourself, Dan, you know that if you saw the Browns come back and win a really exciting game, rally in the fourth quarter to win it, you'd be thrilled, right? The Patriots do that every single year, and they do it almost every year in the playoffs. Games that should be over, and they have no business winning, like last year when they were down 28-3 to the Falcons with 18 minutes left in the game. They end up coming back, tying the game, forcing overtime, and winning the Super Bowl in overtime. It's really unusual, it's probably something we won't see again. But look, the Eagles—they were 13-3 this year. They're a good team. They shouldn't be afraid of the Patriots because they can go out there and win. I just don't think they will.
I'm Dan Friedel here in Washington, hosting the Sunny Side of Sports, in for Sunny while he's on a break this week. I'm talking with Sean Leahy, the sports editor of the Boston Herald. Sean is preparing his staff to cover the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday, Super Bowl 52, as the New England Patriots take on the Philadelphia Eagles in Minnesota. So, Sean, what can you tell us about how this Patriots team might be different from the one that won the Super Bowl last year? I know that there's been some turnover, and in fact, some of the key players from last year's Patriots Super Bowl team are on the Eagles.
That's right. Running back LeGarrette Blount's on the Eagles. Defensive lineman Chris Long is on the Eagles. I don't see that as a huge deal, though. The Patriots willingly let both of those guys go. And have replaced them with other role players who've worked in nicely. I don't see a Chris Long-sized hole in the Patriots roster, you know, for example. Look, the biggest difference this year, the Patriots, is that they don't have Julian Edelman, their star wide receiver, and they don't have Dante Hightower, their star linebacker. But even, you know, Edelman missed all season, and Hightower missed half the season. But even without those guys, they still went 13-3, still had the best record in the conference, still back here in the Super Bowl. And I think that is, you know, kind of hints at the Patriots' ability to absolve these injuries and keep on moving. They have a coaching staff that gets the most out of guys. They don't rely on a lot of star power outside of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. And they are able to coach up role players into filling spots and they get more out of them than most teams are able to do, and that's why I think they've been so consistently successful for 17 years now.
Sean Leahy here from the Boston Herald, the sports editor of the newspaper in Boston. He's directing coverage in Minneapolis leading up to the Super Bowl, and of course the couple of days after the Super Bowl that kicks off in the U.S. on Sunday evening. Sean, over the course of the playoffs, I've been speaking with Sonny a little bit about the players in the NFL playoffs who have African heritage or were born in Africa. There are three players that we've mentioned earlier this year who are in the Super Bowl, who have parents from Africa or were born themselves in Africa. And for the Eagles, that's running back Jay Ajayi and wide receiver Nelson Agholor. And for the Patriots, it's a special teams player, Johnson Bademosi. What kind of role do you think these players will have in the game on Sunday?
Well, you know, Jay Ajayi, you know, he could be key. I mean, the Eagles, you know, one of the things they're going to have to do to beat the Patriots is keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands, right? So if they can establish a strong running game with Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount, that's going to go a long way towards that, you know. And it's the same way with Agholor too, you know. If those guys are having a good day, that's a good thing for the for the Eagles. You know, but the Patriots know Ajayi because he used to play for the Dolphins, who were in the Patriots division. So they have a good familiarity with him. Patriots have never seen Agholor, on the other hand. So that learning how to tame him will be new for the Patriots. Bademosi, I'm much more familiar with him because you know he plays for the Patriots and we cover them. He's been a nice pickup for the Patriots as a special teamer. You know, they lost a special teamer in Jonathan Jones, the Patriots did a couple weeks ago, and Bademosi has kind of stepped up into that spot. So he's got an opportunity on special teams, which the Patriots really like to see key contributions from. It can help them flip the field. It can help them, it can help them stop and keep teams pinned deep in their own end when they give them the ball back. And Bademosi, has a chance to thrive there, and he's learning from a Pro Bowler too, because he's learning under Matthew Slater, who's a perennial Pro Bowler for the Patriots. So Bademosi, he's got a chance to be a contributor.
That's Sean Leahy, the sports editor of the Boston Herald, giving us a rundown on some of the key players to watch this Sunday in Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I know Sonny was following the local ball game here in Washington, D.C. last night as the Wizards upset the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Capital One Arena, 102-96, behind 25 points from Otto Porter Jr. The Wizards were playing without all-star point guard John Wall. There's a lot of news coming out of the National Basketball Association this week. In fact, the Detroit Pistons traded with the Los Angeles Clippers Monday for all-star forward Blake Griffin. Even without Griffin in the lineup, the Pistons defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers Tuesday. Griffin will play his first game with the Pistons on Thursday. Pistons coach Stan Van Gundy says teams only get a few chances to get a star like Griffin.
You know, our thinking was this. The hardest thing to do in this league is to get a proven star. And it's just very hard to do. It's hard to do in free agency. It's hard to do in trades. You get very few opportunities to do it. The guy's a five-time all-star. He's been an all-NBA guy. Puts you in the top 15 guys in the league. He's only 28 years old. We know the injury history. That's the risk on it. But that risk was worth it because of the talent that we're bringing back.
That's Detroit Pistons coach Stan Van Gundy speaking about the trade for former Los Angeles Clippers star Blake Griffin. And we would be remiss if we did not mention the incredible performance on Tuesday night by another all-star, James Harden of the Houston Rockets. Harden scored a franchise record 60 points and had a triple-double as the Rockets downed the Orlando Magic 114-107. Harden talked about his big night.
Yeah, now that it's happened and we won, feels good. Feels really good. You know, just being aggressive. You know, like I said before, you know, Trevor and CP were out, and then Eric, you know, I could tell before the game he wasn't feeling well. I don't know if it was his back or whatnot, but we were down, and there's no excuse. We got to figure a way to win games, figure a way to compete at a high level no matter who's on the floor. And so, Coach, I kind of asked Coach in the first quarter, you know, what was the rotation? It's like, am I going to come out early? I played the first, second quarter play started off, and the first minute Eric couldn't go. Looked at Coach, said, Eric can't go. He said, go get him. And after that, I didn't come out the game. So just whatever it takes to win. Just try to go out there and make an impact every single night on the game, you know, however I can, whether it's scoring, rebounding, assists, steals, whatever it is. And tonight, I was doing everything.
That's James Harden, who had 60 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists Tuesday night for the Houston Rockets. To continue the basketball talk, we're joined now by Momoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the Voice of America's Swahili service. Sporty greetings, Momoyo.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Nice to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you in the studio. Momoyo, Cleveland lost all-star forward Kevin Love to a broken hand on Tuesday night against Detroit. Love only played 4 minutes. Also, the Wizards announced that John Wall will undergo knee surgery today and might miss 2 months. How do you think these teams will handle the next couple months without these star players?
Let's begin with Cleveland losing Kevin Wall. That's more misery on the team that has not been doing very well. I mean, this is a team that is expected to be contender for the finals out of the Eastern Conference. But they have had a lot of troubles, ups and downs, and losing Kevin Love at this point will definitely affect them. But when you play with LeBron James, there's always a chance that there's a way you can go around it. So that's something to be, you know, to be seen. They might be able to work out some kind of plays which will work for them. And, you know, they've been trying a number of lineups in the past few weeks. So maybe this will give them a chance to try something else and see where that takes them. As far as the Wizards, that is very bad news for the Washington Wizards, our home team. They'll be losing John Wall 6 to 8 weeks. So that means he's going to miss maybe 20 games. That's a lot of games for a point guard who is very critical for this team. The first thought that comes to mind is they may not make the playoffs because with him out, they have to bring in all their other guards, Tim and Tom, and, you know, get them going in such a way that the team will play well. They beat OKC last night, but, you know, I mean, when you have such a big test of losing such a player as John Wall, and then you play the first game, you are pumped up. That could be that adrenaline. But what happens beyond that in the next game, six, 8 weeks, will tell whether the Wizards will go anywhere.
That's a great point. Of course, it's lucky that the Wizards are in the Eastern Conference, where they might only have to finish with 42 wins to make the playoffs.
Looking
at the Western Conference with the Los Angeles Clippers, you know, once upon a time, they were seen as a contender with Golden State with a chance to make the championship series. Are we looking at a rebuilding program going on in Los Angeles with the Clippers?
That's precisely what is happening now. With them trading Blake Griffin to Detroit, a number of basketball players, I think it could be a good fit for Griffin and for Detroit. But the Clippers, I think they realize the reality of their situation. When Chris Paul left, their chances of being a contender, you know, kind of went down. So they figured, why wait? You know, why don't we start rebuilding now? And that's probably what's going to happen now, because, as you know, they're talking about DeAndre Jordan also leaving Clippers. So that means they will have to rebuild. They still have, you know, a number of, you know, good pieces in there, but the rebuilding process starts now.
So, Momoyo, we've got about a week until the NBA trade deadline on February 8th. Anybody else you think might be putting on a new uniform in the coming days?
A lot of rumors and exciting rumors. I mean, some of these rumors, they're simply rumors. But last week there was a rumor, a big rumor, that Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio. Now, that would be a big major move, because Kawhi, according to news reports, he wants to play in a big market. Big market means what? Boston, LA, New York, and stop playing in San Antonio, you know, and be a zombie in San Antonio. So he wants to be in a place where he can really, you know, shine, because he is that kind of player. But where would he go? Boston, you know, first of all, let me back up. San Antonio Spurs have said they're not going to trade him, but the rumor is still there. Now, where could he go? Boston Celtics looks like a very nice place for him to be. If you look at Boston Celtics with Kyrie Irving, 26 years old, and all other players there, within the next 3 years, Golden State starts going down because they are aging.
Boston, Cavs
are fading.
And the Celtics could find themselves in the finals three or four years in a row.
Exactly. They could be a monster ball club.
Well, let's see what happens as the NBA trade deadline approaches on February 8th. I also heard that maybe Anthony Davis might be on the move from the New Orleans Pelicans. You got a few seconds to tell us how that would affect the Pelicans.
That would put them out of the contender, especially because they're playing in the West. And the West is a very tough place to get out in terms of playoffs. You are below 500. You'll never get to the playoffs. And Antonio Davis also wants to be in a team that is ready for a championship.
Thanks, Momoyo. And that wraps up the January 31st edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. government, through the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, launched a civil society and media strengthening project in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, in mid-January. It is called Boresha Habari, or Better News. Implemented in coordination with nonprofit organizations Internews and FHI 360, the Boresha Habari Project will collaborate with Tanzanian partners, including the Media Council of Tanzania, Tanzania Boro Initiative, and Jamii Media, to improve professional capacity among journalists and support an open media environment. Over the next 5 years, the Boresha Habari Project aims to work with media houses and radio stations in Dar es Salaam, Zanzibar, Iringa, Mbeya, Morogoro, Arusha, Manyara, Dodoma, Tanga, Mtwara, Mwanza, and Kigoma to improve their professional capacities. Specifically, Boresha Habari will provide media outlets with training and technical assistance, help them adopt new digital technologies, and strengthen their management and financial viability. The project will also train civil society organizations to effectively partner with the media. The U.S. government is committed to supporting the professionalization of the Tanzanian media and civil society, particularly empowering women and youth to raise their voices and concerns effectively as both producers and consumers of information, remarked USAID Mission Director Andy Karas during the launch event. The United States is proud to work with its partner Tanzania to help build a strong and vibrant civil society supported by a free and independent media.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll review the death of 38-year-old Ugandan refugee Alfred Olungo, who was shot and killed by police in California in September 2016. His death was among several captured on video in a year when anger over U.S. police shootings, particularly of black men, rose to new heights. Olungo's status as a Ugandan refugee brought international attention not only to the issue of race, but how police react to people who may have psychiatric problems. VOA and our partner station NBS TV in Kampala teamed up to examine what happened and whether the shooting could have been prevented. The death of Alfred Olungo on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello Africa, this is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5 and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bunganyan in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 1730 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.